Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
Our Old Testament reading comes to us from Proverbs chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. The desire of the righteous ends only in good, the expectation of the wicked in wrath. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. Whoever diligently seeks good seeks favor, but evil comes to him who searches for it. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Whoever troubles his own household will inherit the wind, and the fool will be a servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give you grace to those, may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. This is the word of the Lord. I invite the congregation to please rise for the Alleluia end verse. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Be to thee, O Lord.
He also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. The manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week we began our stewardship series, Living Each Day as a Steward. And I mentioned a couple of stewardship principles drawn from Jesus' words about the ravens and the lilies of the field and the kingdom of God. One of those principles is that stewardship starts not with us, but it actually starts with God, with his bountiful creation, and with his promised care for us. We are of more value than the birds. And also that stewardship doesn't come from a place of fear, but from a place of confidence. After all, God has chosen to give us the kingdom of salvation, the inheritance that cannot perish, spoil, or fade. I actually was feeling pretty good last week after I got done preaching, and then I went home. We're having lunch, and it helps to have a confirmation student living in the house. Dad, I don't even know what stewardship means, and you used it all the time. Oh, yeah. We just sort of communicate as adults, right? Assuming people know certain things. Well, our gospel reading today actually shows us what a steward is. A steward is someone who manages somebody else's property or goods or money. The steward doesn't own the stuff, but is responsible to take care of it, make sure it's being used in the best interest of the owner, and even see that it grows in value. Since God is indeed the owner of all of creation, and all that we own are simply materials of stewardship, we are to see that the things we call ours are cared for, used in the best interests of God, and not wasted. For the kingdom of God, that means faithfully gathering together around Christ and the treasure of his word and sacraments so that our faith may grow and mature. For the creation that provides for our needs, being a good steward means not only thinking of ourselves or our families, but looking for ways to help others always. With that wonderful little promise that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, you will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which will produce thanksgiving to God. We are stewards. And that actually brings us to the weirdest parable of all that Jesus tells. It's a parable that we might say is morally deficient, and it has one big surprise. This steward, this manager, is accused of wasting, squandering his master's possessions. And by the way, this is the same squandering that the prodigal son had done in the parable that was told right before this story from Jesus. And from the way the manager acts, this is no false accusation. He's guilty. He's been fired, but he still has to turn in the books. So quickly, he starts giving his master's stuff away. 50 measures of oil, 20 measures of wheat, and maybe more. Suddenly, off the books, like they weren't even there. He's making friends with the customers so that when he's fired or imprisoned, he might have somebody who feel obligated to either take him in or at least visit him in jail. Earthly point of view, it makes sense. He is being shrewd. I mean, a man's got to do what a man's got to do. But then, and here's the major surprise. When the master finds out what he's been up to, instead of blowing his top, he commends him. Atta boy. Good job. Well done. What? But maybe we can even make sense of how the master behaves. You know, if these accounts were in collections, at least he's getting something, right? And, well, something's better than nothing. Sort of like a clearance sale at a store. The store slashes the prices to at least get something. And, you know, hey, if the customer feels good about that type of deal, they might be back and interact with you some more. Yeah. The master himself is shrewd. The steward is making his master look good to the other debtors. Wise. And Jesus says the world gets that. And that is one of the nice things about the parables. They don't deal in fantasy, but in reality, a very real possible story. The world gets it. The church is the problem. You see, it's the churchy Pharisees who are accusing Jesus of squandering, wasting God's kingdom. They think he's wasting God's stuff by just giving it away, giving salvation to those who don't deserve it. This whole big section of Luke starts with the complaint that Jesus was allowing tax collectors and other sinners in his presence and, scandal of scandals, even eating with them. Can you believe this? You know those tax collectors and sinners? They don't deserve it, Jesus. They don't deserve a portion of God's kingdom because they're wicked sinners and they got to at least clean up their act, Jesus. They owe a huge debt to God. They got to pay it. You see, the world knows how to handle its wealth, but the church not so much. What the manager did in this parable, yes, what the manager did in this parable, we are supposed to do as well, and even more, because that's what Jesus was doing. It's what frosted the Pharisees so much. Jesus was running around and taking the bills of these tax collectors and sinners and not just cutting them in half, but tearing them up completely, writing zero on them, forgiving them, paid in full. And not only that, now Jesus has the audacity to tell this parable so that the Pharisees know that not only is what he is doing, but that the Father commends him for it. Every time a sinner, a tax collector, a prostitute, a thief, a murderer, an adulterer, any other kind of sinner is forgiven, Jesus gets an attaboy from the Father. Good job. Well done. Because this is exactly what the Father gives. And this, forgiveness, life, salvation, this is the treasure of the kingdom of God that is to be spread widely and freely. Well, the Pharisees didn't like that very much. And there are still people today who don't like that idea very much. And that person might even be you. What happens when you get hurt? What happens when you get cheated, when you get taken advantage of? Forgiveness, it can't be that easy for those situations, can it? Somebody's got to pay in that situation, right? Yeah, but who said forgiveness is easy? And who says somebody didn't already pay? When we react in ways like this, it's important for us to take another look at the cross. To look at what Jesus has done for us, for our sin, for each and every bit of our sin. It wasn't easy, but Jesus paid our debt in full. That's the mark of his love for us. That's the mark of his love for all people. You know, even the ones that might sin against you. But there's more. Jesus helps apply this parable to our lives as stewards. After the parable, Jesus says in verse 9, "Make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings." Jesus tells us that as stewards, we ought to use some shrewdness in the using of our resources. The difference between the shrewd manager and us, however, is the motivation and the goal. God calls us to use all of his gifts to us with the purpose of helping others to come to know him and his son. And it's fascinating because the wealth of this world, the wealth that so many seek to cling to hold on to so tightly, that's the very wealth God wants us to use to share the good news with others. That's the very wealth God wants us to use to let others hear of the good news and the gift and the treasure of the kingdom. And then has this wonderful little word that in doing so, we will be welcomed into heaven by those to whom we have witnessed and those with whom we have shared our blessings. And in the next verse, Jesus said, "One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much." We often fail to see the witness of the Christian faith and our conduct in the little things that might just be really important. Have you ever considered in your everyday life how you are dealing with your neighbors and how that might have much more significance than you ever thought? Because little things with our actions, with our conduct, and with our speech can have larger impacts than we realize. Or how about our day in and day out conversations with our children, or with our parents, or with our siblings? Are we seeking to reflect good stewardship in the way we talk and how we act and the small things along the way? Or are we just worried about the bigger stuff? Maybe how and how well we do our homework, or perhaps even our ethics on something as simple as a golf course, might have impacts that we are unaware of, both positive and, unfortunately, sometimes negative. Chad Bird posted about this. He weaved a story about how a simple smile and a simple conversation with a dollar store clerk just might change somebody's world. And he ends the post with this: "Most of the time, these tiny seeds of empathy, patience, love, joy, concern. Most of these little seeds that we sow disappear into the soil of people's lives, and we never see the growth or the fruit. But God sees. He is at work in the small, in the commonplace, the little, the forgotten, to do His divine work secretly. Thanks be to God for His love, for His steady, unseen work in our world. And then Jesus concludes His explanation and sort of this application of the parable of the shrewd manager with the words, "No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The shrewd manager was serving mammon. In mercy, his master was willing to commend him for his shrewdness. In the end, when all is said and done, we are either going to be trusting God and His promises of both present and eternal care, or we're going to focus our lives on the gifts of the Creator and put our trust in the accumulation of more and more stuff for our security. As we think about these things, in light of this parable, we pray that God would be at work in us, strengthening us each and every day to be wise stewards with everything that God entrusts to us. And we pray that we might respond with a simple, cheerful attitude of gratitude, living each day as the stewards who give all glory and honor to the Creator, to the Redeemer, and to the Sanctifier. Amen. Now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ, your Savior. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.